We're going to be looking at a passage in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, if you want to turn your Bibles there. There's two analogies in that chapter that I'd like for us to think about this morning. The two analogies in that chapter, there's one analogy of a tent and another one of clothing. And I'd just like to look at those two analogies, think about what they mean. And as we think about them, there's a lot of implications that go along with those two analogies. But the first one is an analogy of a tent. I'm just curious, by show of hands, who here has stayed in a tent at least one night in your life? Okay, most of us have. I think everybody will be able to relate to this analogy, but if you've stayed in a tent, you'll definitely be able to relate to this. Let me just reread a couple of verses from the reading. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the first verse, where this idea of a tent is introduced. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Then again, the fourth verse. "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed." So here this idea of a tent is presented. And the analogy is a comparison back to our body. Your body is a tent, according to the Bible. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way. But it is. You're just a tent. That's all your body is. This body that we spend so much time grooming and transporting and entertaining, it's nothing more than a tent. And so there's a lot of things we could say how our body is like a tent. A lot of comparisons we could make. But the primary comparison the Bible is making is that your body is temporary. That's the point here, isn't it? Your body is just a temporary thing. Just like a tent. I'm curious, of all the folks who've stayed in a tent here, how many people here have stayed in a tent more than 10 consecutive nights by show of hands? Okay, we've got a few. How about more than 20 nights? Anybody stayed in a tent more than 20 nights? Probably our military members, maybe. Two people, it looks like. Most people haven't stayed in a tent more than 20 nights, and there's a reason for that, right? There's a reason. It's just a temporary place to stay. You don't stay there long. And that's the point of this analogy. You don't stay in your body very long. It's a temporary thing. You're just going to be here for a little bit. In fact, you know, when you stay in a tent, at least this is the way it is when I stay in a tent, the first couple nights it's pretty neat, isn't it? It's exciting. You're outside. You get to experience nature. It's kind of refreshing in certain ways. But then after about the sixth day, the seventh day, you know, a week, 10 days, the newness wears off. At least for me it does. And you're kind of ready to be done staying in a tent. You know, you kind of wish it could keep the climate out a little better. You wish that it kept sound out a little better maybe. Maybe you don't sleep as well in the tent. You wish there was more room. And when we take that analogy back to our body, that's kind of how it feels in this body, isn't it? After a while, the body, it just doesn't work as good as it used to. You wish it could do things that maybe it used to do, or maybe you wish it could do things that it never could do, and you just think, listen, I wish this body was a little better. And that's, according to the Bible, actually, that's somewhat normal. That's what, if we look at the second verse here, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." We start to groan after staying in a tent for a while, don't we? Maybe we've complained after we've camped for a while. That's the way this body is, too. We kind of start to think, The body doesn't work as good as I wish it did. And that's normal. We long for something better, don't we? A better body. The Bible says that's a normal thing. And the body is like a tent in that it serves a temporary purpose. But it does. It leaves a lot to be desired. We wish for something better. And no matter what the physical condition of your body, some of us here are in good physical condition, but no matter what's your condition, there's something better. There's something better than this tent. Verse 4 says, "For we who are in this tent groaned, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." And so here's where the second analogy comes into play. Okay, it talks about a tent. Now it starts to talk about being, okay, this is the idea of clothing. It says we want to be further clothed. We want to put off this clothing. And so the second analogy here is your body is just like clothing. Okay, it's just, again, pointing to the temporary nature of the body. Just like we change clothes, one day you're going to change out of this body. We don't wear clothes for very long, do we? I won't ask how long, you know, what the longest you wore a pair of clothes, but it's probably about the longest you stayed in a tent, right? Just not very long. We change clothes after time. And the point that, again, the idea of this being temporary, this idea of a tent and clothing, it helps us to remember that the body is not the real me. Which I think we all understand, but we need to be reminded of that because we so often identify our body with the real us. But this isn't. What you see here, this isn't the real Dane. This is just my tent, okay, what you see here. It's just my body. It's not the real me. And what I'm as I look at each of you, I don't see the real you. I just see a tent. Okay? This is just your body. You are not your body. This passage makes that very clear. You are something completely separate from your body. Your body is just a temporary place for you to be to keep the real you while you're here. This passage makes that very clear. I've been thinking, I think about her often, but I think more recently I've been thinking about my grandmother. She passed away October of 2012, near the end of that month. And so it was the 5-year anniversary of her death not too long ago. And I think that kind of makes you think about people more, maybe more often in your mind. And she did. She passed away. We buried her. And so I think it's accurate to say that she died. But in the truest sense of the word, she didn't die. 5 years ago, she just changed clothes. Okay? She just changed clothes. She put on it, her permanent clothes. She put on her permanent body 5 years ago. That's the same way with, you know, I thought we were sitting back here singing songs, I thought about the first time I attended this congregation. I think it was in the late 80s. And a lot of the people that were there at that time, they're not here anymore. They've passed on. I think that's accurate to say. They've passed away. But really, they didn't die. Those real people didn't die. They just changed clothes. They've got new clothes on. And that's the way we'll all be. One day we'll all be clothed in new clothes. We'll be clothed in a spiritual. If we look at 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, it talks about this new set of clothing or this new body. We'll be clothed in immortality. It'll be a spiritual body. And I really look forward to the day when we see all those people, when I see my grandmother again, and they've got on these new clothes, this new body. Because that's not the real person that we saw, that body that we saw. Again, that was just a tent. That was just their temporary clothing. So every time you look in the mirror this week, think to yourself, this is just my temporary set. set of clothes. This is just my temporary tent. And that's not the real me. I think it's important that we do disassociate the real person that we are from our body. Because our body, according to this passage, is just a tent. It's just like a set of clothes that we wear while we're here. So that's the analogy this passage makes. That your body is a tent, your body is clothes. So I'd like for us just to think about that idea this morning. And there's three points that I think we can take. There's really a lot of points. I'd like to point out three things, three implications of this analogy as we think about it and what it means to us. Here's implication number one. And this isn't a new idea. I think it's good for us to be reminded of it, though. The body is just clothing, so it's important that we look beyond physical appearance. Okay? That's not a new idea to us. But we do tend to focus on the physical because it's what we see. It's what we're surrounded with. I'd like to look at a passage in Luke, the 19th chapter. This is the historical account of Zacchaeus. Let me read the first four verses of Luke, the 19th chapter. It says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. When others saw Zacchaeus, I wonder what they saw. I've got a pretty good idea what they saw. And actually, when we think about Zacchaeus, what do you picture when you see Zacchaeus? Just think to yourself. Try to picture Zacchaeus. We get a description of what he looks like physically here, don't we? When most people looked at him, they saw a guy, first of all, who was short. Okay. They saw a guy who was rich. They saw a guy who was a tax collector, which was not a well-looked-upon profession. And on top of that, they probably saw a guy who was a bit odd. Okay? When they saw him here, he'd climbed up into a tree, which probably was a bit of an odd thing to do for a grown man in the Jewish culture. The Jewish culture, like all culture, there's a set of norms, things you do, things you don't do. We've got a set of norms in our culture. And when people do things outside of those norms, we think, oh, that's a bit bizarre. Jewish culture is the same way. There's a set of things that grown men do and don't do. And climbing a tree probably didn't fit into that set of norms. They probably looked at Zacchaeus and thought, that's bizarre. That's something a grown man doesn't do. And so, just to recap, they saw a guy who was short, rich, a tax collector, a bit odd, and a sinner. In fact, if we go on to read here, they'll say, this man's a sinner. That's what most people saw. But there was one person that day who saw something entirely different than that. When Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, he saw something a lot different. In fact, let's just keep reading here. I think we'll see that Jesus saw something a little more. And it's because he was looking beyond the tent. Okay, he was looking beyond just the physical appearance. Verse 5, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest of the man who is with a man who is a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I have given half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today Salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So when Jesus came by, when he looked up into that tree, he didn't see necessarily just a short, rich guy who was acting oddly. He saw Zacchaeus, the real Zacchaeus. He saw Zacchaeus' soul. He saw a man who was in need. And he saw, as Jesus puts it here, he saw a son of Abraham. That's what he called Zacchaeus. He said, this man is a son of Abraham. He saw a soul who was in need. And because of that, he was able to say to him, today, salvation has come to this house. And so the point here is that when we remind ourselves that the body is just temporary clothing, that it's just a tent, we can start to gain this insight that every person, regardless of how they look or how they act, they're a soul. That's the real person. It's not the body, but it's the person that this body is carrying around. So that's a point number one. If we think of the body as a tent, it helps us to look beyond just the physical appearance. Here's the second implication we can take from this analogy. I have here in my notes, the body is a tent, so don't let a tent tell you what to do. I know that sounds odd, so let me just read that again. The body is a tent, so don't let a tent tell you what to do. So each of us there's a battle going on in each of us every day, isn't there? There's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Galatians, the fifth chapter. I'll turn over there. It puts this in words very well. Galatians, the fifth chapter, looking at the 16th verse. Galatians 5 and 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. We're all familiar with this battle. We fight it every day. Okay, the Spirit versus the flesh. Okay. Let's look at it from a little different perspective, this analogy of a tent. What we're saying here is it's a tent versus the Spirit. Okay? And if we're following the lusts of the flesh and doing what the flesh tells us to do, we're just allowing a tent to tell us how to live our life. Okay? We're just letting a tent tell us what we're going to do. And that helps to me to think of it. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it, to think that a tent's going to tell me how I'm going to live? Well, that's not how we ought to live. We ought to live according to the Spirit, according to how the real person wants to live. Or if you think about the analogy of a clothes, right? Who wants to let their clothes tell them how to live? Nobody this morning went to their closet and said, clothes, what are we going to do today? Right? Nobody did that. That's just ridiculous. But that's the analogy that's made here. If we take it back to this analogy, if we're following the lusts of the flesh continually, we're allowing this tent, we're allowing these clothes to tell how we're going to live our life. And that helps me, if I think about it that way, to think, you know what, I'm not going to let a tent tell me how to live. I'm going to live how the Lord's told me how to live, how the real me knows how to live, the real me that's guided by the Scriptures. So that's point number two. Don't let a tent tell you how you're going to live. That's what Galatians 5 and 16 is saying. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Point number three. And this point is that if the body is not the real you, okay, if the body is just this temporary tent, we need to make sure that we're not just praying for each other's body, but praying for the real individual. Okay? Let me turn to a passage that I think helps us to understand that, and that's Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 14 through 19. I'm going to read this passage, and as I read it, I just want you to pay attention to the things. This is a prayer that Paul prays. It's actually pretty similar to the prayer that we read in class this morning in the Thessalonian letter. Very similar in some of the things that Paul prays about. But here's what I'd like you to do. Just think about the things that Paul prays about, and think about, is he praying about things of the flesh or things of the spirit? Okay? And this has been helpful to me, because when I pray, if I were to kind of list the things, here's the things I pray about. A lot of times I pray about things of, according to the flesh. Things like good health. Okay, I pray about that. My job, my employment, my family's well-being, things of the flesh. And these are good to pray about. There's biblical precedents to pray about these things. But when we pray about them, we're just praying for a tent when we pray about those things. So let's just pay attention to the types of things Paul prays about here in Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ Jesus, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And I'll read verse 22. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So notice what Paul prays about here. He's praying about, one of the things it says here is the inner man, that they'd be strengthened in the inner man. Okay, he's praying not for their tent. He's praying for the real people. He's praying that they'd be rooted and grounded in love. That's the real person, that the real inner being would be rooted and grounded in love. He's praying that they'd be filled with the fullness of God. These are all things that deal with the real person. Not just the tent, okay, not just their clothes, but the real person. And again, it's good to pray about our bodies. There is definitely biblical precedence for that, and there's a need for it. If we love each other, we're going to do that. We're going to pray for each other's well-being, for our bodies. But keep in mind, when we pray for our bodies, for our fleshly needs, we're just praying for a tent. Okay? We're just something temporary. We're not actually praying for the real person. And there is a connection that I don't understand between our body and between our real being. There is a connection. And our real being does seem to need some sort of a body to exist, as I understand it. After we get a new body, after we leave this world, there's some sort of a connection between our real being and a body. But the body here is just a temporary thing. And that's really the point I'd like to leave you with this morning, is just to help us to think about things more spiritually, because the body's just a tent. It's just a set of clothes that one day we'll take off, and we'll put on a new body, a permanent body. So I don't want to de-emphasize the body too much, but there is something better. And most of all, I don't want us to neglect the inner person, the real person. So as we conclude, just to summarize, the body is a tent. The body is like a set of clothing. And the body's not the real you. And so because of that, we need to look beyond the physical appearance of others. Because of that, we need to not let a tent tell us how we're going to live our lives. And because of that, we need to make sure we're praying for ourselves and for others, the real person, okay, not just the tent. If we want to pray deeply for people, let's pray not just for the body, but for the real person. That's my lesson for this morning. I believe it's customary here to offer an invitation, and the invitation is an invitation for many great things, not the least of which is eternal life. The Lord has many great promises and many great things He wants to give you. And if you're here this morning and you realize that you're not living how the Lord wants you to live, you realize that you're a sinner, and you have come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that through Him comes salvation, and if you'd like to make public confession of that, if you'd like to repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of them, we'd invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the final song that's been selected.